This is the son of PCJ.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another edition of your program, Happy Station, here on PCJ. And as I said before, the reason why I say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening is because some people hear it in the morning, some people hear it in the evening, and some people hear it in the afternoon, and some people hear it when they're dreaming. Well, I hope at least they do when they're dreaming. This is the last edition of Happy Station for 2011, and we're doing something very special today. First, we have a very, very special guest on today's show, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not even going to introduce who it is, because you will know instantly. That's the first thing. The second thing is I have a co-host on today's program, so you don't have to listen to me moaning and droning on for 55 minutes. But I want to introduce our co-host in a different way, because we want to see if you can guess who it is. So I'm going to ask a series of questions. So we'll have, let's say, a imaginary dramatic music like bum ba da dum, and we have a special guest that walks in, and I don't see who they are. So let's see if we can figure out who it is. Mystery guests, my first question for you today is: are you a vegetable?
No.
Are you a woman?
Yes.
Are you half man, half woman?
No.
And I think this is the clinker, because glasses clink, no pun intended, to our mystery guest, co-host today. Do you like to sometimes partake, just in a very social way, a glass of wine?
Oh, you know, you just gave it away, didn't you?
Yes. Well, that, of course, is the introduction for my co-host today, Paulette McCrory from Nash Hollis. Hello, Paulette, and welcome to Happy Station.
Hi, Keith. Thank you. Happy to be here.
You know that this is actually the first time in the history of the show that a woman has actually been on it?
No kidding.
Really? You are
first. That is great. I'm honored.
So we're going to begin with a little bit of music, and then Paulette's going to tell us what she does during the New Year's. And Paulette, I chose this song especially for you. It's Dean Martin and the Little Old Wine Drinker Me.
I'm praying for rain in California, so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm sitting in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. When they ask who's a fool in the corner crying, I say, a little old wine drinker me. Came here last week from down in Nashville, cause my baby left for Florida on a train. I thought I'd get a job and just forget her, but in Chicago a broken heart is still the same. The man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. When they ask who's a fool in the corner crying, I say, a little old wine drink of me. I say, a little old wine drink of me.
Dean Martin, A Little Old Wine Drinker Me, here on Happy Station. Paulette, let me ask you a question. What do you do during New Year's? What do you specifically do during New Year's?
You mean New Year's Eve, New Year's Day?
Well, I'll say the two combined.
The two combined. Well, used to party a lot on New Year's Eve, but then I got married, and that was on December 30th. So by the time December 31st rolls around, I'm too stuffed to even get up off the couch.
You just said something really funny. You said that you used to party a lot and then you got married. What happened? You got married and life ended?
I got married on December 30th.
December 30th?
So we have, because I'm Ukrainian, Christmas starts on the 24th. So we got a huge meal of 12 meatless dishes. And you have to have, the rule is you have to have each one. So you're stuffed on Christmas Eve, stuffed on Christmas Day. And because there are, you know, in-laws and things, usually about 26th and 27th is another big party. And I have a large family, so it's just party, 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 party. And then you got a couple days break, and then the anniversary, so you could go out for a nice dinner with, you know, wine, and of course, and stuff like that. So by the time 31st comes around, like, New Year's Eve's anticlimactic because I just want to get some rest and give my poor tummy a break. So usually New Year's Eve is pretty quiet. But then again, being Ukrainian 2 weeks down the road, Ukrainians do things a little bit late. So on the Julian calendar, we do it all again. January 6th is Christmas Eve, January 7th is Christmas, and then the next weekend is New Year's Eve. So by that time, by mid-January, I'm ready to party again. So that's how I do New Year's.
My God, I just gained 5 kilos listening to that story.
We do like to eat a lot, that's right.
So are you saying then, are you saying then that Ukrainians make up the bulk of the people at Weight Watchers in Canada?
Well, incidentally, the place where I usually do the Ukrainian New Year's is also rented by Weight Watchers, so probably.
Oh,
so what do you do for New Year's? What do you do for New Year's, Keith?
I really don't like New Year's parties. I have to tell you, I really don't like them. I'm not very much a party person, and I know this is going to sound very cynical, but I really hate being in environments where you have all these guests, unless they're close friends, but if there's one of these parties where there's a lot of people you don't know, and you spend all this time making mundane chit-chat about things that you're completely not interested in, and then midnight comes around and you're expected to kiss everybody. Oh, great. Talk about bacterial transfer, you know?
So what, you're the next Howard Hughes?
No, I think it's silly because you know that you're not going to meet these people again and you have to be nice. And it's like, oh, God, just get it over with, you know? Anyway, Paulette, you brought some music along today. What is the first piece that you chose for us?
Yes, I did. And for Benny Goodman lovers, for jazz lovers, here is 1 o'clock Jump. Thank you. And again, that was Benny Goodman and his orchestra with 1 o'clock Jump.
All right. Sounds fun. I love Benny Goodman. I really love Benny Goodman. I mean, you know, it's funny. Just the other day, I was listening to a radio station, and they were talking about how certain musicians had names that were connected with them that you don't even have to give their name, and people know who they are. Like if I said to you, the chairman of the board, you know who that is.
No. Who is chairman of the board?
Frank Sinatra.
I didn't know.
You didn't know that one.
That I didn't know.
But you know Old Blue Eyes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how I know Frank Sinatra's Old Blue Eyes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, here's another one. Let's see if you know who it is. The King.
Nat King Cole.
No. I was thinking Elvis Presley.
Were you thinking of that was my second thought.
Remind me, Paulette, never to play Monopoly with you. Is it Monopoly,
Why?
The game where you have all the questions?
That's you talking about
Trivial Pursuit. Okay, let me
There you go, got you back.
Okay. Anyway, you are listening to Happy Station. And we're going to have another piece of music right now. And then our mystery guest on today's program, who I'm not going to introduce because he needs certainly no introduction, is coming up right after this. So first, let's take a listen to Tom Mayer, who hosted this program for many years with Pick Yourself Up.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? And pick yourself up, take a deep breath, start all over again. Impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself up, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself up, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? And take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself up, start all over again.
Well, joining us now on Happy Station for the last show of 2011 is somebody who's, well, he did a number of year-end shows. He's certainly no stranger to our older audience, and that is the one and only Tom Mayer, who's all the way in the Netherlands. Hello, Tom.
Hi there, Keith. All of a sudden, you start using the Dutch pronunciation of my last name, Mayer. But don't worry, I mean, I said Meyer for ages, so you can say Meyer as well.
Just out of curiosity, somebody asked me one time, they said, why did Tom change his name like that?
Oh, you mean the spelling?
The spelling, yes.
Yeah, because the official spelling is M-E-I-J-E-R, which is just one of the many ways of writing Meyer, which, of course, is one of the most ordinary names there are. But the English-speaking audience doesn't know this IJ bit. So I thought, to keep it simple, I changed that into a Y. But I never changed it here in Holland or signing documents or anything. It's still officially Meijer.
Here's a funny little thing that was recently sent to me, an email from a listener in the UK by the name of Christine McGovern. She listened to you as a young girl back in the 70s, and she said to me, I didn't know that Tom was involved in Dutch barrel organ music. Now, I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, because there was a big mix-up. I was, for many years, I was a member of the Dutch Copyright Society for composers and songwriters. And at one point, I started receiving copyright for things that I'd never written. So I got back to the organization and I said, what is this? Oh, yes, well, sorry, we've got another Tom Meijer. But I used a pen name, which this guy, of course, wasn't. And still I kept getting money that belonged to him. So at one point, I got so fed up and I said to them, look, you can tell this other gentleman that all the money I'm going to receive, which is really for him, in the future, I will keep. And then they stopped with the wrong payments. No, there's a man who is very famous in barrel organ circles and who makes those organ books. And, yes, he also happens to be called Tom Meijer.
So you never had a chance to meet him?
No, absolutely not. But I know him, but since the internet and Google and everything, sorry, I now know what he looks like.
So you're not afraid then, you know, if somebody Googles your name and they come up with this picture, maybe they've never seen you before, you're not worried, are you?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, all right, that's a good
let them Google whatever they want, because nowadays, when you Google me, something which I've done over the past few years will come up. I've written two books, one of which was published 3 years ago, and the other one was presented at the beginning of September of this year, which you will not find on internet. But these things now, of course, come up on internet. And funny enough, I think I mailed that to you some time ago. When you type in my name in connection with Happy Station, then the strangest things come up. I found some Spanish-speaking guy, I think he's a Spaniard, who calls himself something like Quique el Inmigrante. I have no clue who he is, but who publishes all kinds of things about Happy Station and me and blah, blah, blah.
You know, so, not too long ago, I came across some clips on YouTube from a TV series that you did in the Netherlands where you played a school principal.
Oh, yeah. That was a very popular series here. And, God, that's ages ago.
Was that during your time as host of Happy Station?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because I made it very clear when I signed the contract for Radio Netherlands that the more I did on the side, the better my shows would become. So I did small parts in all kinds of TV shows and you know, game shows and that kind of thing. And that was fun. It was absolutely fun. I was, from what I remember, I was a terrible school principal because I was a racist school principal. I took it out on a little colored boy or something. I can't really remember what it was, but it was fun doing it.
playing the meanie, right? Instead of the happy, jolly old guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, you, one question, Tom. You know, I started doing Happy Station in 2009, brought the show back in 2009. And yeah. I think since that period, there's only been once that I've repeated a show, and that's because I just couldn't do it. I was just deathly ill. And basically what I did is I didn't really repeat the whole show. I redid the intro, redid the extra, and redid some small parts in it.
Yeah.
How did you do it every week, and not just one show, a couple of shows, for so long?
Well, that took some thinking and some organizing, because of course, yes, indeed, I did four shows every week, and I did it for about, 25 or 30 years. And at one point, it was clear that if I wanted to go on a holiday, if you hear noise in the background, that's the printer which all of a sudden started going. I started realizing that if I wanted to go on a holiday, I should leave shows behind. And that was not too much of a problem, because you knew that for every Sunday, you should leave one Spanish, one English, and one bilingual in English-Spanish show behind, which I usually pre-recorded with the date that I knew it was going to be broadcast. But then, of course, you also had to take into consideration that you might fall ill. And so we always had a couple of emergency shows on the shelf, no dates. As you know, on my show, the birthdays of the listeners was a big thing. So no birthdays, no dates, etc. And the girls could always, you know, grab one of these shows if something unforeseen happened. And that worked very well, except I remember one time when I had to go on some kind of PR trip through Asia and Australia and New Zealand, and the entire trip took about 3 months. Well, you can imagine what that means. I had to leave such a ridiculous number of shows behind that in the end, I can't quite remember what we did, but it was, I think I asked one of my assistants, Gertie, to at least do the birthdays. She was definitely not an announcer, and she didn't really have a radio voice, but she did very well, I must say. But yes, it's a big responsibility, and you always should have a couple of undated shows on the shelf.
During the time that you did the show, something that I've noticed in 2009, I could be having, say, one of those days that you just wish you can forget. And yeah. I'll get into the studio, and all of a sudden, I'll start feeling better. Was that the same for you?
I know that feeling. It sounds a bit much for people who don't know that, but yeah, I have felt not too well, and then after doing one or two shows, and you go home, you think, I feel better now than when I walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, during the time you did the show, you did a number of course, year-end programs with myself. I've been trying to make them different every year. What are the ones that stick out in your mind?
Oh, that is such a difficult question, or rather, the question is difficult, the answer is difficult. If you ask somebody what is the nicest or the most interesting or the most exciting thing you did, then what they want you to do is go over all the hundreds or maybe thousands of shows that you did. I couldn't possibly tell you. I mean, there are a few shows or instances which I remember because they were special in some way or other, but not necessarily year-end shows. I mean, I remember going up in a hot air balloon and doing a live show with phone calls from there. Now, that was a worldwide first, because that had never been done before. Doing intercontinental phone calls as such and per se had never been done before. But no, if you ask me which year-end show stands out, I couldn't possibly tell you. Don't forget, I did about 25 of them or more.
Just recently, you sent me a copy of a DVD that was for the 50th anniversary of Happy
yes.
Station. And for this show, for the end of the year, we're going to be sending two copies out to two lucky people. It's fascinating to watch. I'm watching that. I mean, it's not very long. It's only about maybe 15 minutes. But
yes.
it's a whole behind-the-scenes look of what happened during that live broadcast. And I'm watching it, and I'm just exhausted from watching it.
Well, I can imagine. You can imagine how exhausted I was. Because it went on for 9 hours, 9 hours live radio from our building in Hilversum, and production for these 9 hours was not simple. Of course, there was a whole army of people working on that. It was extremely exciting because instead of having the transmissions of Radio Netherlands last 55 minutes, which they usually were, what we did was we split up every hour in three 20-minute segments. And so I would be in one studio for 20 minutes, and then as the music started there, I would have to rush to another studio and be there on time to do the back announcement of the music that had been playing there. Well, with 2,000 people in Radio Netherlands building, because that's how many people were milling around that day, it was almost impossible to get through the crowd. So what we actually did was go through the cellar. And I was carrying, of course, a cordless mic. But once we were under the ground floor, of course, there was no more reception. So I couldn't hear what was going on, and they couldn't hear me. So, yeah, that was kind of Stone Age radio we did that. It was very exciting.
I would like to meet somebody or get in touch with somebody who remembers that day, because I'm sure that there are some listeners out there who actually try to tune in to every single target area so they wouldn't miss anything.
Oh, yes, they did. I know there were. I couldn't possibly tell you now who they were. I know for one thing that a couple of listeners were even there who came from not just from the countries in Europe, but I seem to remember even an American or Canadian couple that flew over especially for that occasion. And, I'd have to, delve back into my memory. But I can tell you that it was a very, very exciting day. As I said, 2,000 people came to the building that day. Of course, we were there very early already because I think the first transmission went on the air at 6:30 or something. And then gradually the building filled up with all the visitors. And since this was something that I had dreamed up, and there was absolutely no money to feed all these people, etc., all the catering and the serving and everything was done by Radio Netherlands colleagues. And that is what I'll always remember of that day, that they were so wonderful to make that day possible and make it into a great success.
Now, you haven't been, of course, at Radio Netherlands for a number of years. You left Happy Station in the early 1990s. You've been busy doing so many other things, including going to Spain, which you mentioned a few times in emails.
Yeah.
Do you look back at that time and miss it? And do you wish that maybe you could have stayed on longer?
No. See, I've always been a realist in things. You can dream and you can say, oh gosh, I wish that, but that doesn't get you anywhere. So I've always felt that if you are serious about something and if you feel that a certain situation asks for a certain action, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point in hanging in there and saying, oh, I'll just hang on a while, maybe it will get better, if deep down inside you feel it's not going to get any better. And so to answer your question, no, I've never missed it. I don't have a sorry feeling that I would have wanted to stay on, because if I would have wanted to stay on, I could have stayed on. I mean, the management dearly wanted me to stay on, and I said, let's forget about it, I'm going. And people have said, oh, didn't you drop into a big black hole afterwards? Well, I'll tell you, I didn't see any hole at all, because I was so busy that I thought, how did I ever find time for a job in the past? No, thank heavens I've never been sorry about that. I've never been sorry about, well, come to think of it, I don't think I've been sorry about anything in my life.
You know, a few months ago, I heard this tape, which is just incredibly funny. It was the day that Eddie Starts introduced you as his successor.
Oh!
And the way the way he says your name, I could just picture, if I close my eyes, that he's like spewing venom at you. Tom, and he says, Tom Mayer. Yes, yeah. Tom Mayer.
Yeah, well, he, you know, the poor man, he wasn't, and you, it's understandable, he wasn't very happy about the fact that anyone, it didn't have anything to do with me, but that anyone should succeed him. I mean, Eddie Starts, let's face it, was, in especially in his own mind, he was the Mount Everest of shortwave radio. And let's face it, he was the first ever shortwave presenter. And he stayed there for over 40 years, and no one ever surpassed him in popularity. So he always maintained, I am Happy Station, and Happy Station is Edward Starts. And if one is no longer there, the other one is no longer there either. Well, and in that sense, Radio Netherlands management had a different view, because they didn't want to lose the program. But Eddie was 6 years past his official retirement age. And so then, in their infinite wisdom, he decided that I was to be Eddie's successor, which, of course, immediately made me, well, suspect, to say the least.
It made you the school principal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now, and, well, in fact, you know, there's also funny sides to this story, but it's only funny if you are not or were not Eddie Starts, because for him, it was a tragic episode in his life. And, I mean, shortly after that, the recording of his last show, in which he introduced me, he was admitted to a mental hospital. And he died not long after that. But, I mean, let's face it, he had a wonderful career which lasted longer than anybody else's career in radio. And he was the first worldwide celebrity.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you then, I mean, you know, how do you think Eddie would respond to hear that the show was canceled and then was brought back in 2009?
I have no idea, Keith. That is a question, you know, if this, then what? I couldn't possibly think of anything which could come near the truth. Let's face it. I mean, Eddie Starts died long before even internet was used. So what would he say to? I have no idea. If ever I run into him again, I'll ask him.
You know, the reason why I ask that question is because sometimes there's a few emails that have come in from people that started listening during the Eddie Starts era. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, I just discovered that the show is back. And you should do this because Eddie did this. You should do this because Eddie did this. And you know, I'm not Eddie Starts. I'm not Tom Mayer. I'm not Pete Myers. I'm not Jonathan Gruber.
No. Well, you see, of course, this is absolutely not new to my ears, because after I took over from Eddie, let's face it, after 42 years of all of a sudden, as I was called, this young upstart thinks he can fill Eddie's shoes, because I don't think it's quite fair to mention Pete and Jonathan Gruber, because they both, well, had one grain of sand in the desert of time to do Happy Station. But in the first year that I took over, there was so much hate mail, it wasn't funny anymore. And even letters to the management. Couldn't they get rid of this idiot? Couldn't they bring Eddie back? And especially because I had said, we are going to change everything except the name. Because if you try to copy, as you well know, Keith, a carbon copy is always less than the original. So I didn't try to copy anything. The only thing we kept was the name, and it went on that way because it's still the name. And otherwise, I mean, now it's the Keith Perron era, and keep it that way.
You know, I have to tell you, I have so much joy doing the show, and of course, we're only on shortwave to a few areas. Most of the other areas are on domestic relays, but yeah. I have noticed that the audience. A lot of the audience that I have are, say, familiar with the show. Maybe they've heard the show. Maybe their parents have talked about it. But it's a different audience, but they tune in because the show is so offbeat sometimes.
Yeah, okay, fine. I mean, as long as you... It doesn't really matter how you captivate your audience or why, as long as you do, because you're not just talking to that microphone, let's face it.
It's the end of the year, Tom, December 31st. What are your plans tonight?
Well, tonight on the 31st, Keith, we will be with a group of 10 or 12 people who all live in the same apartment building overlooking the water. And three of the men will be cooking because they are very good cooks. And in the past, they've proved that they can put together a wonderful New Year's Eve dinner, and we'll be enjoying that, and maybe a drop of wine to go with it. And then at 12 o'clock sharp, we are in the very blessed situation. You see, I live in a penthouse in an apartment building overlooking three provinces. And so from where we are, we can see the fireworks of cities in three provinces without hearing the noise, because we live in the middle of nowhere outside. Actually, I live in the water. And so that's what the situation will be. And I love fireworks, but I don't love the noise.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Here in Taipei, we're fortunate that we don't live in the city, so we can still see the fireworks from the downtown area from our roof,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. is nice, because I wouldn't want to have them just a few meters away from the building.
Oh, terrible. No. But you can imagine, I mean, we across the water from where I'm sitting now, I see the skyline of Amsterdam. Well, you can imagine in a city like Amsterdam, when they really get going with the fireworks there, that's quite a view. Except, of course, a couple of years ago when there was such a thick fog that we didn't see anything.
That reminds me of the year that we did the live show from Victoria Harbor in Hong Kong.
I remember that too, yeah.
It was completely fogged in, and I'm like, okay, we can see everything, except we can just see the clouds like changing color, but we couldn't see anything else.
Yeah. I seem to remember that I then... did something for you with Happy New Year by ABBA, starting with fireworks.
That's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, I hope for everybody that the view will be clear tonight. You're welcome, and I wish your next year with PCJ to be even more successful than this past one.
Seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you. In every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, chestnut tree, wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. Everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I will find you in the morning light, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at that moon, but I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you, Tom Meyer. And Tom was our special guest on the December 31st edition of Happy Station from PCJ and on great partner stations everywhere. If you want to get in touch with us, by the way, our email is hs@pcjmedia.com. I am going to step away from the microphone for a bit to go and have a glass of wine, Paulette's favorite beverage. So I'll pass the microphone over to you so you can introduce our next piece of music.
Okay, well, thanks, Keith. Coming up next is a group from England, I believe, Chad and Jeremy from back in the 1960s, and a song that's apropos for the end of the year, Yesterday's Gone.
I loved you all the summer through. I thought I'd found my dream in you. For me, you were the one. But that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. Together, hand in hand, cross miles and miles of golden sand. But now it's over and done, 'cause that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. We had such happiness together, I can't believe it's gone forever. Till summer comes again, I hope that you remember when our love had just begun. I loved you yesterday, and yesterday's gone. Just begun. I loved you yesterday, and yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone.
And that was Chad and Jeremy with Yesterday's Gone.
All right, we're going to have one more piece of music before we sign off today. Here's Mitch Miller and his gang, and Ain't We Got Fun.
If we
Mitch Miller and his gang, and Ain't We Got Fun. Well, guess what, Paulette?
What?
You know, it's now after midnight, and the reason why I say that, because some stations, some people will be hearing this show on January the 3rd. Some people will be hearing this show on
the 3rd?
Yes, on the 3rd of January. Some people will be hearing this show on December 30th. So think about it. We're doing something that is, well, something from an H.G. Wells novel, and that is time travel. We're appearing in 3 different days, in 2 different years.
That's scary.
So, you know what? I would suggest that we say hello to ourselves, and then we could respond back next year. If that makes any sense, I have no... You'd be like, hello,
Keith, Paulette. Keith, when do you ever make sense?
Rarely, just rarely. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. We've come to the end of the show. Paulette, thank you very much for coming on the program today. And I want to have you back on.
Well, thank you. And I'd love to return. It's
and, you know, I'm thinking, actually, you know, if there's an emergency, let's say, like, I get run over by a cow. And
oh, what a thought.
and I can't make it. You know, you have to pinch hit, as they say. I mean, who knows? It doesn't have to be a cow. It could be a rat.
That would have to be a very big one.
Oh, the silliness. Anyway, yes. Paulette, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Keith.
So on behalf of everyone here at PCJ and to all our partner stations, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
No more champagne, and the fireworks are through. Here we are, me and you, feeling lost and feeling blue. It's the end of the party, and the morning seems so gray, so unlike yesterday. Now's the time for us to say Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!